Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Northern Arc Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Chintan N. Shah from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Darwin. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q2 FY25 results conference call for Northern Arc. I would like to thank Northern Arc Management for giving us the opportunity to host their quarterly earnings conference call. We have with us from the management, Mr. Ashish Mehrotra, MD and CEO, Mr. Atul Tibrewal, CFO, Mr. Partha Saraogi, Ralawandi Group Risk Officer and Governance Head, and Mr. Chetan Parmar, Head IR. So without further delay, I would now like to hand over the floor to the management. Thank you, and over to you, Ashish, sir.
Hey, thank you, Chintan. Thank you all for joining us today, and thank you for the warm introduction. Before we move any further, I thought we can take a moment to pay our tribute to Mr. Ratan Tata. He's not only left an incredible mark on our country's economy, but also through the commitment, integrity, innovation, and resilience, redefined industries and responsible way of building business. I think this legacy will continue to inspire as we navigate our business forward. The value of integrity and innovation and resilience provide a strong compass for navigating in today's dynamic world. We're seeing a lot of that coming through, both through the regulatory comment on the Fair Practice Code, transparency of standard reinforces by the industry, and a commitment to ethical and sustained growth. Together, these measures will essentially ensure strengthen the foundation of responsible finance, guiding us towards for us to bring our purpose to life. As we move forward, the way to look at it, our role in enabling the flow of retail credit to the underserved sectors, we remain deeply bullish on the India retail credit market. The India retail credit market stood at about 75 trillion as of fiscal year 2024 and has grown at about CAGR of 16% over the last few years. The market is expected to grow at CAGR of 16% to 18% between 2024 to 2026 to about 100 plus trillion by fiscal year FY26. The increasing demand and positive sentiments of India retail credit markets presents an opportunity both for banks and NBFCs like us to broaden our customer base. Also, the significance of financial inclusion, which we've been championing for over a decade and a half, has deepened particularly in the post-pandemic era, and valuable households and business strives to navigate the crisis and achieve recovery. In terms of credit to GDP, India has the lowest penetration as compared to the other developing countries, and there is a significant untapped potential. With respect to Northern Arc performance in quarter two, continuing our guidance from a previous call, I'm pleased to share we have a growth of about 22% on a year-on-year basis on our assets under management, especially during the times we are facing today. We ended the balance sheet at about 12,309 crores and delivered the most profitable quarter in our history with a net profit of about 98 crores, which for the second quarter, which is about 24% growth on a year-on-year basis. And if I look at an H1, 191 crores for the first half of the year, which is about 33% growth on a year-on-year basis. To my mind, in these times, these are generally very good results, which shows the power of a diversified financial services business with a strong trajectory and a performance track record in terms of looking at a risk on a first principle basis. The key performance metrics for us, such as yield, cost of funds, net interest margin, operating leverage, operating expenses, and profitability, are all on positive and improving trajectory. Results Resultantly, our NIMs have been healthy at about 9.1%. A sharp efficiency and productivity has improved the operating efficiency and operating costs down to from 4% to about 3.6%, and maintaining our return of assets at about 3.1%. However, in anticipation of the potential stress, which all of you guys would have heard in the many calls which have happened over the last week or so, we've increased our provision coverage on banks of the evident stress in the microfinance sector, and you will see that a stage one provision is now about 100 basis points. We just wanted to be more prudent and cautious in our approach. The microfinance sector has faced significant headwinds on account of hurdles faced due to over-leveraging challenges and surfaced, which has been come up over the, and we've highlighted and spoken about it from in our previous call and in our many meetings from January this year. This environment calls for a heightened prudence and adaptability and a proactive approach to managing risk, and we've demonstrated that. Our senses, over a period of time, as we think, will begin to stabilize. In times like this, the advantage of Northern Arc diversified multi-channel financial services model truly comes into play, as you see in our results. Our proactive approach to dial up and dial down across the sectors where we operate enables us to adapt and manage our exposure dynamically, allowing us to drive growth and while maintaining the risk-adjusted NIMs at a very healthy level, and risk-adjusted NIMs over the quarters have remained same, the range bound the way we worked, and ensuring that we commitment to risk and to get the significantly better outcome. We continue to monitor some of these trends pretty closely and work on it systematically. So close to our strategy of what we spoke about earlier, A, being a leading platform, B, continue to broad-base the franchise, B, to create C's around culture, credit first principle, client centricity, and these digital data has really helped us in making this progress. Our key big steps as we look at strategically is to continue to strengthen our core business, grow in the secured segment, which we believe is a good potential for us, and we're seeing that growth, and continue to reimagine and monetize some of the big assets we have. To sum up, Northern Arc performance in the quarter demonstrates the effectiveness of our strategic initiatives, disciplined approach, and a resilience in navigating the headwinds in the market. And with that, I'd like everyone to go through the presentation. We'll talk about a few of the slides. So, we all look through the Northern Arc diversified, enabling about 1.89 lakh crores of funding across the across 11 plus crore or 101 million households we've impacted. We have a strong tech architecture and a strong data science capability for us to manage risk. If you look at our own distribution footprint, has grown significantly, about 370 plus branches. Right now, given what we are seeing, we've actually put pause on the branch expansion to ensure we also are proactive in managing our cost, and thereby ensuring delivering the results, and we'll dial it up as we see the market environments are more conducive. And our partnership-based network is, and the flywheel continues to operate pretty well, and that means across the flow of credit from where it's getting originated and how it's getting fulfilled, we continue to ensure we make strong fee income. Consistently, the balance sheet growth at about 29% CAGR, if you look at it, over the last four quarters, the growth is about 29%, ending at about 12,309 as of September crores, with a very strong mix of direct-to-customer has now gone to about 52%. The profit margins has demonstrated a very strong growth trajectory, CAGR of about 38%, and about ended at about 98 crores. Growth in AMM, in our AUM with reduction in MFI gives you the way to look at a portfolio, is to look at the portfolio across the sectors where it's diversified. You look at a direct MFI exposure is less than 11% of our overall balance sheet, and overall exposure across the sectors. We look at anything we do in that sector, it's classified under the sectoral exposure, is also been very prudently managed over the years, and that's our piece. If we just move to the following slide on the risk management pieces, I think the key areas I'd like to focus on is essentially look at the stuff we've done in creating the provisioning framework in our approach. If we go to the following slide, between stage one and stage two, we created a stronger provision to ensure we are adequately provided for in case of an event. And that's also a prudent and a cautious approach in looking at it. We've also proactively brought down our MFI exposure over the last few years, and we've been doing that consciously over a period of time. And we're ensuring we're able to deliver a strong data science and analytics capability to identify the right set of cohorts and to get a significantly better outcomes. And I think that I will ask my colleague Partha to talk a lot more in details once we're done through it, because I think that genuinely reflects the quality of the franchise and how we're able to use a risk model to get significantly better outcomes. That's the one piece. Coupled with a strong tech capabilities, whether in terms of B2B flow of credit through our Nimbus platform, we've done over a trillion of financing using that platform, or NPOS, which glad to say we've also gone live with South Indian and a couple of other banks we're working through to ensure we're able to build on it and all our capabilities. I'm going to request my colleague Atul to talk about financials, and then we'll open it up for taking Q&A and spend some time on the sectoral views and on the questions if you have any.
Thank you, Ashish. Thank you all for joining Northern Arc's second earning call. On the liability front, I think we have been able to maintain a very well-diversified franchise underpinned by our established relations, a relationship with all the lenders and investors, proactive liquidity management system, and strong credit rating. Our diversified base of lenders includes various banks, offshore financial institutions, debt capital market investors, and they provide a very strong base for the increased funding. Our credit rating was also upgraded to AA- by ICRA and India Ratings. Additionally, we have made significant progress in strengthening our balance sheet with our debt-equity ratio improving from 3.9x to 2.8x during the first half of the financial year after our fundraise of 882 crores in H1 and also adding another 190 crores by way of profits. Talking further about liquidity, we remain very comfortable with a positive cumulative mismatch across all the time buckets. Our total borrowings at the end of the quarter stood at 9,271 crores, with approximately 65% tied to variable interest rate, and this positions us favorably to benefit from the anticipated lower interest rate environment in the future, which is a bit uncertain currently, at least in the near term, considering the high inflation and the global uncertainty. Now coming to the financials. Our assets under management have grown at 22% year-on-year, reaching 12,309 crores as on September 2024. So with a focus on sectoral diversification and maintaining a granular portfolio, our direct-to-customer mix has actually increased to 52%. The portfolio yields have increased by 80 basis points YOY from 16.4% in H1 FY24 to 17.2% in H1 FY25, and this has been driven by increased direct-to-customer share from 43% in September 23 to 52% in September 24. With respect to cost of fund, despite the increase in the risk rate for the NBFC exposure and a higher interest rate environment, we have successfully improved our cost of borrowings to around 9%. This improvement reflects our proactive treasury management and diversified lender franchise, which carefully balances the cost of fund with liquidity and ALM. Resultantly, our NIMs have improved from 8% H1 FY24 to 9.1% in H1 FY25, and the spreads have improved by 100 basis points from 7.2% last year to 8.2% in H1 FY25. On net revenue, including fees and other income, have reached 1,007 crores in H1. FY25 reflecting a 33% YOY growth. Fee and other income on a DuPont basis has remained range-bound at 0.8% of average total assets. However, this should reach a level of 1% by Q4. Our credit cost of ₹130 crores in H1 FY25 denotes 2.1% of the average total assets. And this will also include a 40 basis impact on the change of the ECL methodology that the company had taken to migrate from the net flow models to static pool approach. And this has resulted in the increase in the probability of defaults in our direct-to-customer portfolio, and thereby it has led to increase in stage one provisioning as well. Our operating costs have improved by 20 basis points to 3.6% in H1 FY25, coming from the various steps we have taken to improve operating efficiencies and productivity across the company. We focus on continuously improving our risk framework. Ashish earlier mentioned we will continue to invest into building a robust collection framework technology through the credit life cycles of the customer with us. Pre-provisioning operating profit grew by 59% YOY to 387 crores in FY25 and 74% YOY to 212 crores in Q2 FY25. Turning to profitability, our PAT for the quarter saw a robust increase of 32% YOY and a solid 4% growth quarter on quarter, reaching 98 crores. This marks the most profitable quarter to profitable quarter to date. This takes the cumulative PAT for the financial year to 191 crores for H1 FY25, which is a 33% growth YOY. Thank you, and I would like to open the floor for question and answer.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of Bala Murali Krishna from Oman Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, guys. So the first question is regarding this provision and the stress in microfinance sector. So before that, we never spoken about this much stress and this much provision coverage we are going to do. So before IPO or even any media interactions. So why only after IPO all these things are coming out? I'd like to know about MD regarding this one.
Yeah, thanks, Bangi Krishna. To explain, microfinance is a sector which is cyclical in its nature, and from time to time it sees the risk events either localized or across the country and country. What we have seen in earlier instances also is that when these cycles come, while there will be some stress, there is recovery from that in a few quarters. What has happened over the last last couple of years is that we have seen some amount of over leveraging at the borrower level, which has again happened across the industry, across the country. And what is now we are seeing is that coming out, and this is something which should correct itself as every cycle goes. In terms of identifying this, obviously for the last one or two quarters, we have actually slowed down our disbursement in the sector and ensuring that the regular customers of ours are supported. But having said that, this is something which is across the industry, and we have alluded to this as one of the potential stresses in the last quarter as well. The way we look at it, these cycles, these events and these cycles, particularly in sectors like this, are common, and it happens normally every once every three to five years.
So how is the indicator going forward in the coming 3-4 quarters? So this is how much provision trend will continue, or do you expect any downtrend or any uptrend in the coming quarters, 3-4 quarters down the line?
Yeah. First of all, Nazmark is a very diversified financial services company, and our overall exposure to microfinance sector actually has been coming down, and it is closer to 18%, of which the direct microfinance exposure is actually closer to just about 10%. The way we look at it, we are adequately provided for the anticipated losses in this sector. In fact, most of the provisioning that we made for microfinance sector in Q2 and in H1 is actually good book provision. It is not the stressed asset or stage 3 provision. And we, in fact, beyond the models, we have also have certain amount of overlay on the good book provisions. The way we look at it, the provisions that are held against this portfolio is adequate and should see us through.
Yeah, that I understood. But my question is a bad question. So we know the stress is there even before IPO. Also, we know that stress is there. But nowhere this stress, nobody has spoken about this stress in any interactions or anything. So we have a very low GNPA and NNPA. So we are speaking about that only. Even though the media asked the question about how we are maintaining this very low GNPA and NNPA, so we told that we have a robust platform which underwrite very thoroughly. So that's why we have this. But this stress immediately means suddenly burst out. So this is, we are well aware of in advance also, but we have not spoken about this, that's what we are concerned. So I request management to be more transparent regarding these things. So positives and negatives, everything should be disclosed. And any questions which were asked by media interactions or in conference calls, that should be some direct answers rather than giving some direct answer, suggestion name. But if you ask about what could be the name, there should be one direct answer, 9.1, 9.2, like that. So this is, I think, this was missed before IPO.
Can I just kind of want to make it very clear? We were very clear in our first earnings call of what we are witnessing, and I spoke about the trends in each of the sectors, particularly on MFI, MSME, and consumer finance. I had at least each when I spoke about what we are as the platform seeing the flow of credit and what it's leading to. GNPA and NNPA remains range bound. Obviously, if you look at the slide number 18, and it tells you how a GNPA and NPA is. Change in the stance of ensuring that you take appropriate and adequate provisions is a more of a cautious and a prudent approach to managing risk that you create. Will be probably unique company which has 100 basis point provisioning created for age, which is on slide number 19 on the stage 1, which is essentially a good book provisioning. And that's just reflects about the transparency with which management is looking at it and the proactively managing risk and the prudent approach being followed. You look at the results, it tells you the outcomes, which is both in terms of growth, profit, and the overall outcomes are significantly better. We take your feedback and we duly ensure that we adequately stress in case it gets missed out. But I'm being very clear of what's being done, and this is the prudent approach to managing risk on creating appropriate provisions for a potential stress which could potentially come our way. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the explanation. So going on, second question is regarding this cost of funding going forward. Do you foresee any decrease in the cost of funding as the rate trading also getting improved? So how much we can expect in the borrowing cost?
Yeah. So I mentioned in my presentation that the cost of fund for us has been coming down. If you see in FY21, our cost of fund was in the range of around 11%. And from there on, we had over 250 basis points increase in the RBI repo rate. But in spite of that, our cost of fund has actually come down to a level of around 9% as we speak, and it is even lower than what it was last year. And since we also had bought a upgrade from the rating agencies, we will also, start having the tailwinds as far as incrementally the cost of fund is concerned. And thirdly, as I said, 65% of our borrowings are also linked to benchmark rates of RBI and the banks. As we see the interest rate scenario change, where we may enter the lower interest rate environment, we will definitely, get more benefit when that cycle changes for the 65% of our portfolio.
Okay, thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask questions, you may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Monshree Soni from MK Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand your broader outlook in terms of AUM growth now that we're, you know, consciously reducing our MFI portfolio. However, our other secured assets are, you know, compensating for it. So I wanted to understand your overall outlook for growth for the next two quarters and for the next year, FY26 as well.
Hi, Monshree. Good to, I think, like I said earlier, and we hold to the guidance we gave in the quarter one call. I think we will see ourselves growing anywhere between 25 to 27% growth. The bigger focus is essentially growing around our MSME and the secured book, which is probably a more prudent approach, which is broadly in line, and we seems pretty confident in ensuring both that the risk-adjusted return continues to remain where we are and maybe improve marginally. I think that's the big focus. So growth rate of we should be able to end of the year get to about 25 to 28%. I think that's a very good growth rate in the current environment.
Right. And in terms of our direct-to-consumer share has been increasing, so how many more branches are we looking to open?
So right now we've not consciously we've deferred the opening because of the current rate environment, and you know we get to see that at a pin code level, at a district levels. We will eventually open as the market tends to stabilize a little. We will obviously, for a secured lending if required, we will open more network. But right now we've taken a pause around on it.
Okay, got it. Sure, those were my questions. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir, and congrats on a good set of numbers. So just two questions from my side, one on the borrowing side. So, sir, how we see the borrowing mix changing ahead given, you know, the expectation of a rate cut cycle? And also, considering the current environment, are we experiencing any deferment in fund lines from the banks?
Hi, Renish. So, definitely, to answer your second question first, we are not, seeing or facing any resistance from the banks as far as Northern Arc is concerned. We have been receiving good lines of funding from all the banks. In fact, State Bank of India, you know, has sanctioned us 900 crores in September, which we have availed. And there are other banks also. And currently, we are sitting with a liquidity of close to 2,000 crores, of which around 800 crores is funded, and 1,200 crores is still undrawn. So I think liquidity definitely, we are quite comfortable. As I also mentioned, in terms of ALM also, we are positive. We are not seeing any pullback from the banks. On the borrowing side, I think, as I mentioned, we have a very diversified franchise. Offshore currently forms around 30% of our total liability mix. I think this is a very good mix, and you will not have too many NBFCs in India with around 30% from offshore. Banks' share has come down from a level of around 70% to close to 60-64%. And as we progress, as we move ahead, we will see this ratio come down to around 50-55% level. But I think in terms of liquidity, it is very, very comfortable for us.
Okay. And just to follow up on that, what's the fully hedged offshore cost versus domestic?
So the offshore cost for us would be lower than the normal borrowing that we do from a bank, but it will be significantly lower than our average cost of fund. Yeah.
Even on the fully hedged basis?
Fully hedged, fully landed cost for us.
Okay. And again, my second question is on the credit cost side. So, this quarter has been slightly elevated. And, if we go by the in general commentary by a few of the industry players, it seems to suggest that the second half will be let's say, challenging. So how do you see asset quality spelling out for us in second half? And more importantly, where do you see credit cost settling for the full year?
As you mentioned, the market is turbulent in terms of the credit performance, portfolio performance of the underlying portfolios. But the way we look at it, we are significantly focused on both early bucket collections and then controlling the forward flow rates. And the way we look at, and we also have a approach to providing early, providing good book, make good book provisions when market looks turbulent, and don't wait for credit losses to crystallize before we make provisions. The way we look at it, as things stand, our focus is on controlling additions to any bucket and controlling roll forwards. The way we look at this stage, the way the buckets are, we are adequately provided, and the current provision that we hold is reflective of what we expect to be the credit outcomes.
Let's say internally, how do you foresee second half? I mean, of course, as of September, we might be provided enough, for the flows of the buckets. But what if things deteriorated from here on? I mean, what is your internal assessment?
Right. We expect to hold on to the current levels in terms of provisions that are required, or in terms of credit cost that is required for the year. Obviously, that would require some amount of work on and focus on collections that we are already putting in. The way we look at it, there is no need for a change in guidance or the change in the provisions that are already made.
Got it. And maybe just a last question to Ashish. Given the situation is, do you intend to, let's say, reassess medium-term strategy in terms of secured and unsecured AUM mixer?
Hey, hi, thanks. No, like I said, the advantage we have, given the product competence and the network effect we have, obviously the urge would be to grow the secured asset base to the earlier question which was asked, is to continue to expand our secured lending businesses. And that should provide sufficient impetus for us to ensure that we get the risk-adjusted return we spoken earlier and the guidance we gave earlier. So we are pretty confident both on growing that piece and ensuring that we come true close to and better than what we issued a guidance in terms of the outcome for the year.
Got it. Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you and best of luck, sir.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prince Chaudhary from Pink Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking up my question and congratulations on good set of numbers. Well, I have a couple of questions. First is related to business. Suppose you have lended the loan to XYZ originator, and you basically have acted as a guarantor for that originator partner. So I wanted to understand, if the originator partner defaults from their side, then how do you mitigate the risk? Because it is also the major concern for a businessman.
Well, I think the way we look at the risk is pretty differently. We look at first the entity, then we look at the end customer to which we broadly agree to finance, because our core risk principle goes back to the end customers. Then the underwriting approach, then the pool of the cohort of assets which is getting earmarked to us, the cash flows of the companies, the equity in the company. So we have a pretty evolved process of evaluating what we are financing. And that's why if you look at historically and you look at our freight outcomes in terms of freight costs, is significantly superior than anyone else. So it's a pretty evolved model going back to the core genesis of not only to whom you're lending, but to whom the end money will go to and how those customers are being originated, how those are being serviced, how those risk is being sunset, and then tracking them on a monthly, quarterly basis through by visiting the branches, by meeting customers. So it's a very, very evolved process. It'll take us a full day to walk us through. But end of the day, it's a pretty comprehensive approach to risk.
We haven't seen any issue, as, for example, if we have act as a guarantor for the originator partner.
Obviously, we would have. And then we look at it differently because you also then have underlying assets. You look at the equity the entity has in play. Those risks at point in time may crystallize. Our approach is pretty proactive in managing them.
Okay. My second question is, during this quarter, our investment management services revenue has declined significantly from 11 crore to 9 crore. Any specific reasons, and also our other income, like from 22 crores to it went down to 8 crores. So what are the reasons for that, and what is included in others?
Yeah, sure. The NAIM, there is a maturity of a fund of 480 odd crores, 450 odd crores. So that's the reason why you'll see drop. But we having three other funds are getting deployed right now. So that will get caught up over the next two quarters. Atul, you might want to answer on the other income.
So other income, you know, you're talking about last year or this year's other income?
For this quarter.
So other income would, on a standalone basis, for NAIM, the other income would be the fee that we would be collecting from the funds as a for the reimbursement of cost. So that comes under the other income head. But the main lines of income for NAIM would be the fee income, the management fee income, and the secondly would be the investments, the income from the investments that they made on the funds.
His question is on the overall overall other income, consolidated other income.
See, in your segment revenue, there are five, six parts, okay, financing, investment, and investment management, portfolio management, and others. So I want to understand what is included in others.
Oh, acha, sorry. I'm so sorry. The other income would also include the income that we generate from our investments of the T-bills. There is a requirement under the LCR guidelines to, you know, to maintain liquidity, and that is maintained by way of investment in T-bills. So any income that we generate is parked there. We also would have recovered some interest of, you know, from the income tax refund that we had. So that is also coming under the other income. And some charges that we would have collected. So largely it's a mixture of, you know, three or four different items.
All right. And the last question. In your opening remarks, you have mentioned that for stage one, we have increased the provisioning by 100 days. So I want to understand which segment of this sector is getting stressed, like consumer or SME.
Just to clarify numbers, our stage one ECL was 0.65% as of 0.65% as of March 24. We have increased it to 0.8, just above 0.8% in June quarter, and we made it 1.01% to be precise as of September 24.
Okay, so it increased from 6 to 8%, right?
65 basis points to 101 basis points.
Okay. Yeah, that's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We have the next question from the line of Biswaroop Mohapatra from Canara HSBC Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the call. So my question is on the credit cost. I think some of it is already discussed. So we are at 2.1% credit cost at H1 FY25. So as we see, as of now, maybe situation can change in H2. I completely understand that. So as it stands, do you see this credit cost for the whole year lower than these levels?
So as you mentioned, obviously, these are our future things, and we should not be taking this as a guidance of numbers. But having said that, we are reasonably confident that we will be able to maintain credit cost at current levels. And looking at what we are looking at right now, this is something that we are comfortable with.
And any specific reasons where, like, any specific states where, like, you are facing problems in collection?
Not really. Actually, unlike a lot of other events in other cycles earlier, which were a lot more localized, where there are some events like floods or cyclones or things like that, the current issue, while there are always some pockets, some geographies which behave differently from other geographies, the current stress that we are seeing in particularly the rural underserved is pretty widespread and pretty consistent across all the states, and it's more a function of over-leveraging at some cohort of borrowers, and it's not literally a particular either geopolitical or any of such events.
We are approaching end of October, so do you see the collection efficiency at similar level as of September end also? Any improvement or deterioration, anything you can say?
Not really. Actually, things are, as of 28th October, things are where they were as of 30th September. There is neither a significant improvement or neither there is a deterioration in collection efficiency.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. We have the next question from the line of Chinmay Nema from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Hope I'm audible.
You are audible, sir. You may proceed.
Yeah. Sir, could you provide the gross NPA numbers for the different segments that you lend to? So, if you could provide the GNPA numbers for all the six segments.
Yeah. As you can see, the GNPA number for the company is 0.6 and the NNPA is just less than 0.2 actually. The sector-wise splits are broadly in line with the trends that we had, whether it is for March or March of June, though there is a slight increase in microfinance, but there is nothing which is an alarming trend or which is significantly different. The sector-wise splits are pretty much in line with what we have in the RHP, and there's nothing which is material to update.
So it's a pretty standard disclosure. Request if you could include it in your deck, that would be great. That's okay. Could you provide the some color on the microfinance book in the sense that how much is the share of Northern Arc plus 5 lenders on your book and how much is the stage 3 provisioning on that book?
We consciously avoid borrowers where we are the fifth lender or anything like that. Our policy doesn't allow us to take that sort of a book. That is number one. And on your second question of provisioning on stage 3, any unsecured retail loan we actually write off or we actually fully provide for as of DPD 90. That is why you will see our credit cost being high.
Okay, so got it. And lastly, could you share the cumulative write-off number for the last 3 years? How much cumulative write-off you have taken over the last 3 years?
So we'll take it offline. So basically, for the last 3 years, I'll share it separately. We don't have handy at this point. I'll share it separately.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Anant Mundra from My Temple Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just wanted to understand, do we have any exposure to the MFI sector indirectly? Maybe, like, have we invested in any of our own AIFs which have lent out to the MFI industry, or have we given any guarantees on behalf of any of the MFI NBFCs?
The way I said in the opening comment, our overall exposure to the sector is about 20% of our balance sheet. Our direct exposure is about 11%, less than 11% of our overall 12,300 crore balance sheet. But I think the way we look at it in the balance 9% of the balance sheet to what you're referring to, we will be, we'll have adequate cover both in terms of the cash flows, the underlying assets, and the corporate support. So we are pretty confident of that.
Okay, and are we carrying any provisions on the 9% that you mentioned?
No, we obviously carry a good book provision. We anyway carry whatever in stage one, a good book provision.
So that includes that. All right. That was it from mine. Thank you.
We have no further questions, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sirs.
So thank you all for joining us today, and just take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy festive season. More importantly, happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. Thank you all for spending time with us today evening. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Northern Arc, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.